Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Get ready. Like every week, we have a lot of information to share with you that you're going to want to listen to and be able to start using around your home right away. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Here we are at the very end of April. In fact, happy Arbor Day. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about Arbor Day, Danny, is I discovered that here in Connecticut, where I live, it's Arbor Day. But in different parts of the country, of course, Arbor Days fall on different dates, depending on if you're in the north or in the south. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a great time of year to get out and start planting trees and anything else. So if you have a home improvement question about the inside or outside of your house, get in touch with us. See if we can help you out today.
We'd love to help you out any way that we can. You can pick up the phone right now. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. Also, you can send us an email anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. During this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to talk about and help a homeowner with a little dilemma they have in building an attached garage. There's a lot to consider when you're building onto your existing house. It needs to look like it's been there since day one. There's a few changes that might have to take place in this particular situation. Also, driveway cracks. Almost every week we share with you some information on how to make those driveway cracks seem a little less obvious. We've got more information to share with you there. Also, tips on building outdoor kitchens. Now's the time of the year where a lot of people are wanting to create that cooking space outside. Again, some very important things that you need to consider when you are sitting down ready to plan all of that out. Also, glass tiles. Boy, over the last year, especially on Today's Homeowner Television Show, we've installed a lot of glass tiles, and there's a few little nuances about these particular tiles that you have to be aware of. Joe, what about that simple solution? Give us just a little hint of what we might find out a little bit later.
All right, Danny, it's a great time here to start fertilizing some plants, but sometimes you have a large shrub or hedge. It's a little hard to deliver fertilizer right to the base of the plant, so I have a simple solution how to do that coming up.
All of that and a whole lot more of information coming right up here on Today's Homeowner Radio. But Joe, I was very intrigued. Joe and I are constantly sending information back and forth about all kinds of things that we see. And one that really caught my eyes, you're talking about the 12 cities where home buying is cheaper than renting.
Because, yeah, how about that?
You know, traditionally, people rent because it is a little more budget-friendly than everything behind home buying. But things are so different these days with interest rates being down, but the prices of actual housing being up so high. So where did you come where did the basis of this premise of the 12 cities?
Well, there's an online report that's put out by the National Mortgage News. They're in charge of statistics regarding mortgage rates all across the country. An interesting thing about this I found is that often with something like this, these are the 12 cities where home buying is cheaper than renting. Sometimes it's clustered in one part of the country, but these 12 are scattered throughout the whole country, East Coast to West Coast, North to South.
Yeah, I noticed some of those. Let's see, number 12, I guess, on the list here that you sent me, Philadelphia. So
right.
That's one of the areas there. Then you can move down to St. Louis. Back up to Detroit, Hartford up near where you are there in Hartford, Connecticut, and then I see it goes way down south to Tampa.
Tampa, yeah. It started, again, here we are. We're going from like all the way up to from Hartford, Connecticut, to Tampa, and then Baltimore in the Middle Atlantic, then down to your neighborhood, Danny, New Orleans, mm-hmm. and where I spent 4 or 5 years living and learning my trade in Miami, Florida. Then. And this was surprising, Riverside, California. I didn't realize any place in California was affordable, whether you're buying or renting.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yeah.
And then why don't you share with our listeners the last three, the top three?
So we got Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Then you have Chicago. And then you have another city very similar to Chicago, and that's Cleveland, Ohio. So
Right. Kind
of interesting how things have changed around a little bit. Of course, what's ahead? We'll always kind of keep an eye on it and monitor everything we can. Those interest rates starting to click up just a little bit here. Hopefully that can help adjust some of these pricing that's still way too high on lumber and other materials. And then we're still almost every day I'm hearing stories, Joe, about the supply and the demand issue in so
Right. Many
ways. That it's affecting home remodeling and home building. Boy, I hope that changes around soon.
Well, we said that a few months ago. We thought it was going to change, and the prices did drop quite a bit, and then they went back up, and they've been holding steady. It's not really a shortage of trees to cut down. It's just a shortage of workers to mill them at the boards and ship them out to stores and Home Depot and places like that.
Well, no matter what takes place on a national level like that, one thing we know for sure, you want to keep your house in as good a shape as you possibly can. A few weeks ago, we had a question that spawned a lot of interest, and that is, with the glass top cooktops, how do you really clean those? And boy, I have seen people do all the wrong things there and get a little aggressive. But Joe, we got an email here from a listener, Clint, in Wenatchee, Washington, that listens to us on KPQ Radio 560. He says, Danny and Joe, I love your show. Here's a great tip for cleaning glass stovetops. I've been using, here's a familiar product that we've recommended a lot, Barkeeper's Friend Cleanser.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the coarse side of a kitchen sponge for about 9 years now. It works great, leaves everything just spotless, and there's no scratches at all. If I have an excessive buildup, I very carefully use a one-sided razor blade with the holder, things that you do a lot of paint scraping with on glass, so you still right. have to be very, very careful. But there you go, another use for Barkeeper's Friend. He also goes on to say, and this is in reference to some conversation we had about some of the deconstruction where you're trying to remove that molding very carefully and not damage anything else. Clint's recommendation there on removing molding without damaging the drywall, I use an old putty knife, slip it behind the molding first,
right.
then use a pry tool sliding down the front of the putty knife. So that's just keeping it from, you know, just putting a little bit of protection there.
Right.
And it's very thin, so that allows you to be able to work it very easily versus putting a piece of wood and so forth. But we appreciate these tips and any follow-up that you can give us on something that's worked well around your house, and we'll share it with our listeners all across the country. So Clint from Washington, thanks so much for that. Joe, pretty good tips here.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we often say when we share simple solutions or any other kind of tips, if you have an idea, send it along. We'll share it with our listeners. And the other tip, if you're removing baseboard molding or any kind of trim and you're going to replace it, often when you pry it off the wall, the nails are stuck in the molding.
Mm-hmm.
And you always, always pull them out from the back side. Don't ever hammer them through to the front, which would be the first thing you might think of. Well, I'll just hammer them through and pull them from the front. But if you hammer them through from the back, what they do is they blast out the wood on the front and leave, you know, they can chip the front. So you just take a pair of snips and just pull them out from the back,
mm-hmm.
just pull them through, pull the head through. And this way you have a nice clean surface in the front. Still have the nail holes there, but it'll be a nice clean surface.
We have certainly reused a lot of molding, and you realize, you know, some of the molding starting to change just a little bit. And when you're really trying for that high level of authenticity in tying in a new area to an old area in your home, saving that molding is one of the key ways of really making that work very well. Hey, Joe, you know, another thing a lot of people are doing is the same thing we did on a Today's Homeowner episode last week, and that's garage organization. Great time of the year to kind of purge that garage a little bit. And one of the things that we have found in a lot of the projects we've done like this is to find the space within your garage to build a storage container rack. Now, we've done this vertically where you take the little storage containers or totes, as many people call them,
right.
and stack them vertically. But this particular time, we actually built a workbench. It was about 38 inches tall. And then under it, there was room for actually two levels of the totes. We did it about 8 foot long, so we were able to actually put in 10 totes. The husband was quick to say, these are mine, these are yours. So they, you know, there's
those two are yours.
Yeah.
These eight are mine.
So
yeah.
There's always a little negotiation in any garage reorganization because you quickly determine who's the hoarder and who's the one that's not.
Right.
But I think it's a great time. And of course, as we all know, with any reorganization, that all starts with purging a few things, donating a few things, going to Facebook Marketplace and maybe monetizing a few things. But either way, that's the first step in being able to really part and really make those areas look a lot better. And what do you know? We even ended up with two cars in this two-car
wow,
garage.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was a level of success. Hey, we're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. Coming up, we're going to be talking about building a garage attached to your home. That and a whole lot more coming up here. Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Do you hear that? The sounds of spring. There's the birds. the spring breeze blowing through the leaves, and the Ryobi Whisper Series blower. And that's the new Ryobi Whisper walk mower. And there's the Ryobi Whisper Series string trimmer, all with interchangeable lithium-ion batteries and gas-like power. It feels like spring at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We're so honored to be heard all across the country on hundreds of radio stations like this one in Alliance, Ohio, AM 1310 WDPN. Big thank you to Program Director Rex Coombs for having us on there. We're really proud to be a part of the lineup there on AM 1310 WDPN. If we can help you with any questions or challenges that you may be having in and around your house, let us hear from you on the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. Send us an email anytime you wish by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to head to Maryland. Jonna is on the phone. Jonna, I understand you're about to add on to your house. Welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around there.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you guys today. I've been a fan for a while now.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question for you is, my husband and I want to build an attached garage to our house. And where the right side wall of this garage will be is a large stacked block retaining wall. And we don't know what to do. Do we take this wall down? Do we, you know, leave it up and build beside it?
Okay. I'm looking at the pictures of it. I appreciate you sending that. And I had a very similar situation I was considering at my previous house where I had a retaining wall situation like this. There's a couple of things here that I noticed. First of all, it appears that the retaining wall does overlap onto the house. I'm just guessing 6 or 8 inches, something like that. So it does look like it kind of goes into there just a little bit. And
yes.
Is this a wall that has been there since you purchased the house?
Yes.
Okay. And I would assume you probably have a little bit of moisture leaking through that wall from time to time.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing that you can really be foolproof on a situation like this is to actually remove the wall so that you can put a conventional wall there. Now, when you're talking about a conventional wall, it needs to be either poured concrete or using concrete blocks, cinder blocks, to build that up. You're going to have a pretty substantial foundation because you're going to have some rebar running vertically in order to support that wall with that amount of dirt that's pushing up against it. And the other thing about it that makes it a little more of a project is you're really going to have to do waterproofing on the back side of that, because you don't want a garage that ends up with a moisture soaking through it, and it's not sufficient enough to waterproof just the inside of that block. You're going to have to put a membrane on the back side of it. Now, this sounds like an extreme for something that is not living space, but it's still a very important part of that so that you don't have any of that moisture that migrates through there. Now, some people are concerned when you take a block wall down like this, whether or not the soil behind it will maintain where it is.
Right.
Very, very rarely is a lot of sand back there. Very rarely will you have that problem because you have, you know, roots of your grass and so forth holding it together. It's all packed in place. So I don't think you're going to have that problem at all.
That's what we were worried about, is it would fall in.
No, I seriously doubt it. The only thing is, though, in order to create that space that you will need for the membrane is going to be a little tricky because, you know, the wall appears to be about 8 inches wide. And so when you remove it and then you line your blocks up, your new wall for your garage, up with your house, you're creating about a foot of space between it there, and that may not be enough to work that membrane down in it. So you actually may have to do just a little bit of digging back on that wall in order to get your block wall in, the membrane on the back side of it, and then you can start the backfilling process against it. And anybody that does concrete foundations, this is a somewhat routine job for them to do, and I would certainly consult with them on making sure this, really the most key wall to the whole structure, is done right.
Okay, I see what you mean.
It sounds like a lot of drama and it sounds like a lot of work, but boy, if you only get one chance at that to be able to do it right.
Okay, all right, I really appreciate it. Can I give you a quick tip?
Certainly can. Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
You guys were talking a while back about cleaning shower glass doors.
Uh-huh.
Use glass cooktop cleaner. It works great.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
because
it's essentially made out of the same material when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it works real well.
Good, good. All right, well, we'll pass that along to everybody. We appreciate you sharing that, and we appreciate you being a part of the show today.
Thank you for talking with me.
Okay, our pleasure, Jonathan. You take care. Joe, of course, one of the things there, too, depending on how this wall plays out, almost without a doubt, a French drain. A traditional real French drain with gravel, the sock pipe, that will catch that water that soaks down to the bottom of that wall and moves it out. And usually when you have retaining walls like this, you almost can just move it out and turn it onto the driveway if there's not a, you know, an area further down. But it looks like from the pictures that traditional French drain could be used fairly easily.
Yeah, you have to put a French drain if you're going to be putting in the garage anyway. But yeah, if her question was, you know, can we just build the garage on top of that wall? Well, retaining walls are not designed to be structural in that way. So I would be really surprised if a local engineer or building inspector would allow them to do that anyway. So their only option is to tear it down or build it in front of it. And if you're going to pour a concrete foundation, which I would recommend as opposed to a block foundation, they could pour it right up against that wall. You know, that's another option if you don't want to remove it. It was hard to tell from those photographs, and she didn't say it, but it seems like behind that wall, it's not backfilled all the way to the top of the wall. It looks like there's a walkway behind it that goes up to a deck or something. So, I don't know. Regardless, I think they won't be able to build right on top of that wall, certainly.
And that's one of the things that people do try to do, even if it's a half wall, never recommended because it's not designed for that weight that you'll have on it. So hopefully they'll be able to get their nice garage. A garage is a nice thing to add to a home when you don't have one and you're parking out in the snow and the rain and the heat. It's kind of nice to have one. So best of luck on that. Let's go to our emails right now. We'd love to get an email from you. Send us one right now or anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Punta Gorda, Florida, from Barbara. Says, hello, Danny. I love your show. And I recently had the walls of my family room painted gray, but the tiles and the grout around the gas fireplace are beige. Is it safe to paint tiles and grout? If so, what kind of paint should I use? So it sounds like they're doing a little bit of facelifting there, a little modernization.
Right.
What do you think about the tiles and the grout to try to change the color on that, Joe?
Well, it's not clear. Is she unhappy with just the grout or the grout and the tile? If it's just the grout, the color of the grout, I would remove the grout and put in different color grout, or you could try staining the grout. But if she wants to paint the tile and the grout, I'm not a big fan of that because it doesn't look like it doesn't look like a tile wall anymore, of course, because you don't see the difference between the grout and the tile. But they do make, you know, if you scrub it really clean and use a paint designed for putting on tile, you'd sand it a little bit, remove all the dust, and use a really good, you know, maybe an epoxy acrylic or a really good house paint or something like that. I mean, it's going to still get dirty and you're still going to have to repaint it occasionally, especially around a fireplace. It's a gas fireplace, but it still might get stained a little bit. So I think I would probably just change the grout unless the tile itself is the issue.
Yeah, and if the grout is not sealed, you could actually stain the grout.
That's right.
You can use a grout coloring and use a small little artist brush. And when you're talking about a fireplace area, it's a fairly small area, so you would be able to change that up. And as you mentioned, Joe, that can significantly change the look of something. Well, sometimes the grout grout is just faded and it's old and it's inconsistent, and that takes away from the crisp lines that you should have with grout. And so that's a very, very easy one there. Hey, coming up, if you're tired of any of those cracks in your driveway, well, there's a way that it can be repaired, and there's a number of reasons why it should be repaired so that the driveway holds up as long as you expect it to. We're going to tackle that and a lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Danny and Joe will be right back. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. Sometimes we see innovations on home appliances that make us ask, who really needs that? Samsung's answer is the four-door Flex Food Showcase refrigerator, which has multiple innovations for your family that they really can use. For starters, the beverage center includes both a water dispenser and an autofill water pitcher. Then there's the dual ice maker, which makes two different sizes of ice. For real flexibility, the lower right side of this four-door refrigerator can easily be converted from a fridge to a freezer. The temperatures, whatever you need to meet your family's specific needs. And there's a flexible storage drawer with two customizable temperature settings. It's perfect for storing meat, vegetables, or cheeses at the proper temperature. Plus, there's a built-in deodorizer filter with UV technology that continuously cleans the filter itself. So, for more information on the Samsung four-door Flex Food Showcase refrigerator, log on and check it out at HomeDepot.com. Joe, the refrigerators are just, they're taking on a life of their own. There's just so many different things there. And that's pretty interesting. You know, who really needs that? Well, this shows you that there's a lot of different options that are there that you really can use around the house.
Yeah, and that's the first time I've heard of a refrigerator. There's a compartment that you can switch from freezer or to refrigerator. That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need as much frozen food space. You know, you need more fresh food storage or whatever they call it. So that's really pretty clever.
That's pretty good. Let's get right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And you can call us anytime at 800-946-4420. We're going to Boise, Idaho. David's on the line. David, welcome to the show. And tell us what's going on around your house that we can help you with.
Well, hi, thank you very much. I'm calling to discuss a 12-foot long crack I have in my concrete driveway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relatively stable crack, meaning I can't see it move, and I'm going to repair it this spring. For preparation, I plan to use a 3/8-inch crack chaser on an angle grinder to clean out the crack.
Mm-hmm.
I then either put bond breaker tape across the bottom or install one quarter inch backer rod if I can get it to fit. My questions surround what's the best material to affect the repair. I seem to have three options: a low modulus sealant, for example, Dow Corning 790, epoxy, something like PC Products two-part epoxy, or premixed concrete patching products, which I'd like to use with a bonding agent.
Sounds like you've done your homework there, David.
Yes.
Well, I try.
The thing about it is, first of all, the crack is an expansion crack, obviously, so it's moving all of the time depending on the weather and the thermal conditions. So you have to have something in there that's going to move. It's like a control joint or a relief joint. And to tell you the truth, David, what we recommend and has been very successful in repairs that we've done and others have done is simply just take an old screwdriver, a slotted screwdriver, and just clean out, just kind of make a little groove. You don't have to groove it it out too much, and then take your either your shop vac or your leaf blower and blow all of that debris out of that crack completely. Then I would use a concrete repair caulk. Quikrete has a great one that actually has texture in the tube. And the thing that most people do wrong is they just simply use too much of it, and then you have a lot of it that's overlapping on either side of the crack. But if you really are careful in trying to feed it just in the crack itself, then use a putty knife to surface it out and to clean it well. That will hold up better than anything I've ever seen, to where if a little expansion and contraction happens in the future, it won't show up as a crack. It just moves the material in and out. And I think that's probably the way I would approach it. Joe, we deal with a lot of concrete driveways like this.
We sure do.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, what Danny just told you is certainly one option. Thanks for sending that photograph, David. I usually do recommend using foam rubber backer rod. Now, that is such a narrow joint, at least it looks really narrow in the photograph, that you'd have to cut it open pretty wide even to get in a quarter inch backer rod or something even smaller than that. But if you can get a backer rod in it, that's fine. A backer rod, for people who aren't familiar with it, it's just like a, looks like a rope, but it's made out of foam rubber, and you stuff it in there so it partially fill that hole, because caulking is usually only good, any kind of sealant is usually only good to about a quarter inch deep, no matter what it says on the tube. But yeah, clean it out really well, vacuum it or blow it out. And then what I've found that works really well is there's a company called Sika, S-I-K-A. They make professional products, and they make a polyurethane caulking called Sika Flex. It's a self-leveling sealant, which is what I like. So as long as your driveway isn't on a really bad, really steep slope, you know, this would work, because you just put it in there and it just self-levels out itself. And it's very flexible. As Danny said, it's good to have something flexible in there to accommodate any movement in that joint. So I would check that out. It's called Sika Flex. And then The other thing you do is, before it dries completely, if you sprinkle sand over the top, wait for it to dry probably overnight, then use a leaf blower to blow off the excess sand. The repair will kind of blend in a little more with the concrete surface. Otherwise, obviously, it would be very clear where that crack was.
Yes. Can you tell me the name of the product first mentioned? Not the Sika, but before that.
Yeah, that's it's Quikrete, and that's Quik without the C, Quikrete, R-E-T-E.
Right.
And if you went to Quikrete.com, you'd see it.
It's called driveway repair.
Uh-huh. But this one's driveway repair.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and again, it's flexible, has that texture to it. Works pretty good. I've tried it a lot of times.
Yeah, I've got some of my other product, the Dow Corning 790 in there, that's been in there for 10 years, and it's done a really good job. That's been at the foundation driveway intersection where there's a lot of movement.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I appreciate that other recommendation. I will look at that.
Right.
But, yeah, it sounds like I'm on the right track, and kind of avoid the epoxy, avoid the premixed concrete products.
Yes.
Nothing hard, nothing that dries hard.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting out of our conversation.
And while you're there at Quikrete, you might also check out their resurfacing material that we've used a lot, called Recap, R-E-C-A-P. Check that out in some of the videos that are available to that, if you decide to, once you get the crack filled, to completely resurface all or part of the driveway. Works really well. I've used it many times.
Okay, very good.
All right, David, well, thanks so much for being with us today on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and best of luck on that.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are you interested in the results?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Let us know and follow up so that we can follow up with everybody else.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you much, David, and have a great weekend. Hey, coming up, we're going to share with you some great tips if you're thinking about building an outdoor kitchen. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app, or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Tight Bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-to-1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself.
Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Captain's Log, Day 173, The Search for a Natural Way to Kill Weeds.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Not long ago, I found a compound in goat milk so effective at killing weeds, it's the active ingredient in my Deadweed Brew. Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew kills weeds and grasses anywhere and everywhere, and it's approved for organic gardening.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
Now, you may have been saying to yourself, this is the year I'm going to have an outdoor kitchen. And whether you're building it yourself or having someone create this great area right outside your back door, there's some great tips that you need to hear from us, brought to you by our friends at Exmark. This is part of their Backyard Life Tips. And one of the things we want to tell people is more and more homeowners are really adding these outdoor kitchens because families want to create their own retreat centered around that outdoor cooking. These projects are more involved than just parking a kettle grill and a picnic table on the patio, but they don't have to be ultra expensive to be functional and attractive.
No, not anymore, Danny. Many homeowners have discovered that they can create the look of a high-end outdoor kitchen by building cabinets around their existing grill, so it has that really built-in look, that built-in feel you see in a professional kitchen. So if you're considering this kind of project, remember that the materials adjacent to the grill must be non-combustible, right, because they're going to be up against some hot surfaces, and the countertop materials have to withstand the weather. So concrete backer board with stone, ceramic tiles, those are good choices to meet both of those requirements.
Now, if you want to include a refrigerator in the space, be sure it's designed for outdoor use, or it may not stay cool in hot weather, or it'll freeze up in the cold weather. Should also be protected from rainfall and plugged into an outlet with a ground fault circuit interrupter.
And of course, a heat source like a gas patio heater or a fire pit is another great addition to an outdoor kitchen because it'll allow you to extend the number of days each year you can use the area, but also create a great atmosphere for your family and friends to gather, especially in the evenings.
Now, all these tips are brought to you by our friends at Exmark, the official mowers of the backyard life. And for more great ideas and inspiration for your outdoors, check them out at Exmark/backyard. And that's EXMARK.com/backyard. Right now, we're going to head back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Tony is in Tennessee. Tony, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there that we can help you with.
Yes. Hi there.
I was planning on retiling my fireplace surround. I wanted to put tiles over the tiles. The tiles that are in existence there are all sound, or they got good integrity. And I understand that's something that can be done. I've never done any tiling before, but I'd like to do that because it would save me a lot of time and risk for what's underneath the substrate there. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a project that's been done quite a bit. Matter of fact, Joe Truini, my co-host, wrote this great tile book where he covered this same subject. Joe, what would you recommend to Tony to make sure things go right on this fireplace surround?
All right, Tony, so this is a gas or a open fireplace, wood burning?
It is a gas propane fire pit, so it does not burn wood or anything. It doesn't get as hot.
So you want to put up glass tiles, not ceramic tiles?
Yes, that's correct.
So these are the smaller mosaic tiles that come on a sheet, right?
Yes, they come on a sheet, you know, and there's backing on there.
Yep, that's the way to do it, yeah. Using regular mortar, just go right, thin set mortar, go over it, the existing tiles, but you have to prep it first. And the biggest challenge is if the tile, the existing tile surface isn't perfectly flat, or at least, you know, as flat as you can get it, because if it has any texture to it or any like raised edges, depending on what kind of tiles on there, of course, that's going to get telegraphed through and you're going to see those ridges and everything else on the glass tile. So hopefully you won't have to do this, but if you need to, you have to grind it flat, not for any other reason other than to get a nice flat surface. You know, you want to clean it really well with TSP and wipe it dry, remove all the dust, then just put on thin set mortar. Now, for the glass tile, have you bought it yet?
Yes, I have.
Is it translucent tile that is colored, or is it clear glass tile that's called color back tile, meaning the color is on the back of the tile and the tile itself is actually clear glass, but it looks like it's color because there's almost like paint on the back. Do you know which one it is?
I think it's colored glass.
Okay. Well, the only reason I ask is if it's translucent glass tile, meaning the individual tiles are colored glass, it's not clear glass with paint on the back. When you put on the mortar, you put on with a notch trowel, then you have to knock that down flat, because if you don't, you're going to see those ridges through the glass, of course, because it's just glass. If it's color-backed glass, then that's not an issue because the color painted on the back of the tile will hide those ridges.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it is doable. Yes.
Okay, the tile that's on there is flat.
Good.
But it has the ridges where the grout was.
Right, that's not an issue because that's going to get filled with the new mortar.
Okay, and the other question I had was maybe I should use a primer so the adhesion is better.
Sure, yeah, that certainly can't hurt.
So do you think that's necessary or is that something that's just maybe better?
I think it won't hurt to do it. You don't want to do this a second time, so I would do it.
That sounds like a great project. Anytime you can introduce glass into the interior like that, it's always a positive thing. Tony, thanks so much for being with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420.
Add beauty and excellent foot traffic to all types of slippery surfaces around your home with the TrackSafe system from Deitch Coatings. Start with the new TrackSafe color coat in 1 of 5 colors, pre-mixed and ready to install on steps, walkways, patios, and pool decks, even garage and workshop floors. Then finish with clear coats of TrackSafe anti-slip sealer to add slip-resistant safety. Plan your next project and order online today at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com.
Captain's Log, Day 173, The Search for a Natural Way to Kill Weeds.
Hey there, I'm Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. Not long ago, I found a compound in goat milk so effective at killing weeds, it's the active ingredient in my Deadweed Brew. Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew kills weeds and grasses anywhere and everywhere, and it's approved for organic gardening.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Deadweed Brew from Bonide. Learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Starting a garden. It's kind of like starting a family. You care for it, watch it grow, and if you get the right brand, like Bonnie Plants Harvest Select, you watch it grow a lot. You start to feel a real bond with your plant family. Just don't name them, because they're gonna be delicious. Get help donating your surplus to local food banks from the Home Depot and ampleharvest.org. It feels like spring at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Tight Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the show, the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our very popular simple solution with my buddy Joe Truini. Joe, share another one with us, will you?
All right, Danny, this is a great time of year to start fertilizing your lawn, your gardens. And when you're trying to fertilize thick shrubs, bushes, or other dense plants, it can sometimes be difficult because you can't easily reach the root system at the base of the plant. So here's what you need to do. Take a length of 2-inch diameter PVC pipe and cut it about 5 foot long, which is usually in half because PVC pipe is typically, 10 foot long. Trim one end of the 5 foot section at 45 degrees and then square cut the other end. Now stand as close to the plant as you can get and slide the square cut end down to the base of the plant, right? Then you just pour the liquid fertilizer down the pipe through the 45 degree cut end. And the reason you cut it at 45 degrees is the angled cut just creates a larger opening so it's easier to pour in the fertilizer. And by the way, this tip can also be used to put water to the plant as well. You can stick the hose down there. Might make it a little easier to deliver it. But the idea is to deliver this fertilizer right to the base of the plant where the root system needs it.
Boy, that's good timing on that simple solution with so many people working on their yards and their raised beds and gardens. We talked about it before, Joe. The pandemic really fueled the interest in home gardening and growing vegetables and so forth. Like I've never seen before, the folks at Home Depot say the same thing, and that thirst for that information is certainly more than it's ever been before. So that's very timely.
Yeah, with people spending more and more time at home, they can't be sitting at the desk all the time being productive, so they'll go outside and work on the garden. That's what I've been doing. Hey, by the way, Mr. Green Jeans, you made fun of me for using seed tape in my greenhouse, but I actually have lettuce now popping up that's about 2 inches, well, not quite, but an inch, inch and a half tall, and it was 31 degrees this morning when I went out for a walk. Here it is in late April, 31 degrees. And I went into the greenhouse to water them, and it was like 75 degrees in there.
Oh, man. And that feeling when you walk in there,
oh,
that,
it's great.
The humidity, and it's warm. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a cozy little area there, and obviously very conducive to growing. So that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's worked out well.
And that's one, if you're familiar or if you want to find out more about the seed tape idea that Joe came up with, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions and see that and over 500 more simple solutions that are available out there. And that just kind of separated the age demographic of our audience by saying Mr. Green Jeans, because those that know who Mr. Green Jeans were probably a little older than those that are going, what does he just make that up or something?
He's been off the air since like 1959 or something.
That was a character on the
Captain Kangaroo Show.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That was a big part of my formative years, I guess you'd
say. Yeah, me too. Do you remember the ping pong balls falling from the ceiling? They'd drop 1,000 ping pong balls in the middle of this kids' TV show. I never really understood why, but it was kind of cool.
And then I bet they made the kids pick them up. Okay, you like that? Okay, come over here and pick them up. One of the jokes that we do here around the office from time to time, which is not really funny when it's done to your desk,
right,
but with somebody else's, it's pretty funny. We've somehow ended up with 3 5-gallon buckets full of golf balls. So when someone goes on vacation or whatever, somebody's, not me, though I get blamed for it each and every time, right, they go to that office and they fill up every drawer with golf balls.
Oh, no.
So you're coming back, you're getting in your office, you're sitting down, you're opening your drawer to get your little Post-it note or your ink pen, and you got to dig through all of those golf balls. So that was done one time only one time. They'll never do it again. But
right,
because I now have control of the golf balls.
And when people go on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. Want to encourage you to head by todayshomeowner.com and check out what's happening on the Today's Homeowner television show. It's available in over 92% of the country, and I'm sure you can see it in your neck of the woods. We always have some great shows and some great tips, just like we do right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us for this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll see you soon.